Welcome back, lovers. Today we are diving into one of our most requested episodes to date. You all have been blowing up our DMs and emails, which I love to see because you know I always love to hear from you. And so this week, by popular demand, we are breaking down the events that come before the wedding. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of bubbly because we are going to cover a lot today. From the excitement of the engagement party to hosting a big welcome party bash, we are leaving no stone unturned. Whether you are a bride-to-be, a type A best friend, a mother of the bride or groom, or you just want to plan a great party, today's episode is for you. We're spilling all the secrets, tips, and ideas to make each event leading up to the wedding as magical as the big day itself. You're listening to Ask the Planner. I'm your host, Desiree Adams, owner of Verb Event Co., a company whose mission is to help couples enjoy planning the contemporary, sophisticated wedding they've always imagined. Together with other wedding industry experts, we reveal the crucial details and industry secrets that will help you plan and enjoy your flawless heirloom occasion. So pop your favorite champagne because we have a wedding to plan. From the moment you say yes to the night before you say I do, there is a whole journey of celebrations that takes place. For anyone who has ever been engaged, you know it's not just about the wedding. We're talking engagement parties that kickstart the festivities, bridal showers that sprinkle you with love and gifts, to those unforgettable bachelorette parties that have you and your closest friends making memories to last a lifetime. But before we get into today's episode, I do want to take a second to welcome our new listeners as well as thank all of our OG listeners for continuing to support the show. Y'all, I just love meeting you all out in the wild, reading your reviews online. So if you ever see me out and about, please come say hi, send me a DM, drop a review in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Hearing from you all, connecting with you is so important and really what drives our show. The one thing I don't love about being a podcaster is that it's hard for me to get to know you. It's not a conversation. We're not talking in person. So I always just love hearing from you. So I would love to know if you are newly engaged. Are you engaged to be engaged? Is your wedding coming up? Are you planning for 2025 or beyond? Are you a vendor? Are you a planner? Just let me know. I just want to know all the things. Reach out to our DMs, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, call our wedding planning hotline, or submit a question for our Never Have I Ever segments, all of the things. Take a screenshot. I just love seeing you guys and tagging me when you are listening to the show. So let's hear from you. A quick note, if you are listening to this episode in your car or at the gym and you want to go over today's episode with your partner or parent, you can find the full show notes at verveeventco.com/138. Okay, let's dig into today's episode. First, let's zero in on the event that often marks the beginning of your wedding journey, which is the engagement party. The engagement party is the sweet spot where excitement meets official announcement. It's your first major celebration as an engaged couple. So traditionally, the engagement party is hosted by the parents of the bride, but as we all know, traditions are evolving. Nowadays, it's not uncommon for the couple to take the reins and host their own party, or sometimes both sets of parents will host their own parties, separate parties, joined parties. It's really up to you. The key takeaway here is that there is flexibility in who gets the honor of hosting this party. Traditionally, whoever hosts the party covers the cost. So this could mean a formal dinner at a fancy restaurant, a casual backyard barbecue, or something in between. The style of the party can vary greatly, but the sentiment remains the same. It's a celebration of love, commitment, and the journey ahead for you all who are getting married. Now let's talk guest list. This can be a bit of a tricky area, but here is a golden rule. Anyone you invite to see the engagement party should also be on your wedding guest list. Think of it as a sneak peek of the big day, and this also helps manage expectations and keep things smooth down the line. It's definitely bad form to invite someone to the engagement party who is not going to be invited to the wedding. Now, also, if you are having separate parties, it's totally fine. for example, your parents to invite their family and their, you know, friends that are definitely invited to the wedding. And make sure, guys, that you guys start talking about that guest list before you start this process of the engagement party. If you're unsure people are going to be invited, just keep the guest list smaller. I have seen where if there are two sets of parents hosting the party, then not everyone is invited to both parties. It's just your parents are inviting your friends and family, and then the other parents' person's parents are inviting their people, if that makes sense. And again, you don't have to invite every single person that's going to be invited to the wedding to these engagement parties. Usually they're smaller and more intimate and just a way for everyone to get together and celebrate. Okay, next let's talk about the timing of the engagement party. The sweet spot is usually within the first 3 to 4 months following the proposal. It's early enough in the engagement to feel celebratory, yet not too close to the wedding to add to the stress. One common question we get is, do we need to have our wedding date set before throwing or hosting an engagement party? And the answer is absolutely not. The engagement party is all about celebrating your decision to marry, not the logistics of the wedding itself, but you do know that people are going to be asking you about that. So just get ready for that question when people ask you at the engagement party. Okay, now let's move on and talk about bachelorette and bachelor parties. These should probably be the next thing on the agenda because we are all so busy. Our calendars fill up fast, so start planning the bachelorette and bachelor party early, ideally even 9 months out if you are aiming for those last 3 to 4 months before the wedding. This might sound a bit much, but believe me, it is worth to ensure all your VIPs can make this event. While we are also talking about invites, remember your bachelorette party can be bigger than just your wedding party. This is your chance to bring together all the people who make you feel loved and celebrated. However, a word of caution, choose guests who bring joy and fun. This isn't the time to worry about spreading out costs by inviting more people. It's about creating memories with those who truly matter and you want to be there to be partying, to be celebrating, to be relaxing with people that are going to be helpful for your sanity and your peace of mind and just your like the whole vibe and juju of the weekend itself. As an aside, I was scrolling through Dear Abby, which it's just like my guilty pleasure, and also on Reddit, and saw a thread started by a friend of the bride who couldn't afford to go on the $8,000 trip for the bachelorette party. Now, when she told the bride this, the bride got angry and they all had to change their plans because they now couldn't afford to go on the trip without this person's participation. And I think like a bunch of people got mad at her. Obviously, this left the friend feeling like she was only being invited for her financial contributions, not because of their close relationship. So make sure you are intentional about the invitations to this event, and this actually goes for the rest of your events too, for the wedding. Just make sure that you are inviting the right people and that everyone feels loved and heard. Now on to a question that pops up often regarding this kind of event. Who pays? While there is mixed advice out there, we here at the podcast really believe that the person getting married should be prepared to cover their own expenses unless there's some kind of pre-arranged pact among the friends where everyone pays for the bride or whoever, you know, whoever's event it is, and you just pass that down the line for everybody. At the end of the day, it's all about setting clear expectations to avoid any awkwardness. But it's also a lot to ask your friends to cover the cost of your trip getting there when we all know how expensive it is to be in someone's wedding party to begin with. Now, when it comes to who is planning the bachelor or bachelorette party, while there isn't a traditional host, there's usually a maid of honor or a best man or whoever is your VIP, if you're not using those terms, that kicks off the planning for these kinds of events. For more of the nitty-gritty details into planning a bachelorette party, make sure you tune into episode 129, where we all talk to Danielle Eisenberg, the founder of Batch Place, on how to plan your bachelorette party. Moving back, one last thing, guys. When it comes to talking about paying for the bachelorette party, We just got back from our trip, my girls' trip, with all of my college friends. There were 9 of us to celebrate our cumulative 40th birthdays, and we all used Splitwise to pay for everything for the weekend, which was so easy. I feel like I'm a super old person because like the last time we all used Splitwise was for our 30th birthday parties. And it's really, really great. If you haven't heard of it, basically everyone puts in their cost. So basically one person would pay for dinner each night or each meal or, you know, the Ubers. And then they would put that expense into the app and then they would mark who was at that specific event, like who was in the Uber, who bought the drinks at the bar at this particular time, and then also who was actually drinking those drinks. So it was super, super helpful with managing how much each person owes, and it was just like so handy. Anyways, moving on. Showers. Let's talk about the bridal shower or the wedding shower. The wedding shower is a pre-wedding celebration where friends and family shower the bride or the couple with gifts and good wishes. While traditionally focused on the bride, joint showers for couples are becoming increasingly popular, reflecting the collaborative nature of modern relationships. As wedding planners, we are here for that. Love that. So whatever feels good to you, you should definitely do. Now, starting the etiquette rules you should be aware of. You all know I'm a big etiquette enthusiast. We actually have someone coming on the podcast to talk about that. Traditionally, a wedding shower is thrown by an aunt, a cousin, or a close family friend of the bride, if you're, you know, using those terms. The idea here is that immediate family members, like parents or siblings, hosting a shower could be seen as directly soliciting gifts for that loved one, which is kind of looked down upon. However, like many traditions, this is evolving and it's becoming more and more common for immediate family to take part in the planning and hosting of this event. So while the who hosts etiquette rule is becoming more flexible, there's another etiquette rule you should be aware of. Everyone, shocker, invited to the shower needs to be on the wedding guest list. This is definitely a non-negotiable. Okay, now let's talk about when the wedding shower should take place. In a perfect world, I would say you will want to plan for it to take place around 4 months before the wedding. This timeline gives guests plenty of notice and it fits nicely into the wedding countdown, building excitement without crowding your final preparations. Then, to make sure your shower runs smoothly, aim to send out invitations about 6 weeks in advance of the shower. This allows enough time for RSVPs and ensures your guests can mark their calendars well ahead of the big day. If you have guests that are traveling across the country or a great distance, I highly recommend telling them about the date of the shower as far in advance as possible. I have a good friend whose brother is actually getting married soon in California, and her brother called her and said, "Oh yeah, so-and-so's shower is about a month away. Did you want to come to that?" Now, keep in mind, we live in New York, and this event was happening in California. Not to mention, she was also about to go out there for the wedding, which was like 3 weeks after the shower, bringing her whole family and 3 kids. So she was like, I would have loved to come, but did you actually really want me to come? Because you're really giving me like no notice at all. So remember, guys, optics are everything. If you really want someone to be there, just let them know ahead of time. The event's on this date, love for you to come, but totally understand if you can't. The formal invitation is coming later, but love for you to be there. If you don't want them to be there, just don't invite them. Just say like, hey, we're having a smaller thing. And, you know, we didn't want to put the burden on you of coming out here because you're coming out here for the wedding also. So just think about that stuff. Now, we are now going to move into the events that are closer to the wedding day. But before we do, I wanted to check in with you. How is wedding planning going? Are you feeling overwhelmed with your wedding to-do list? Are you wondering if you've missed something important in this whirlwind of planning? If so, we have your back. So I want you to check out our Ultimate Wedding Planning Checklist. This isn't just any checklist. It's your comprehensive guide that walks you through every detail you need to consider when planning the big day, from the big decisions to those tiny details that make your day special, when to start your skincare routine, reminding you to make sure that the tuxes are returned. Not only have we broken up every task per month for you. We've also included helpful resources to guide you throughout the wedding planning process, including links to related blog posts when I'm telling you to go do X. Also, you know, if you want, here's another blog post that helps you with a specific thing, as well as podcast episodes that are related to that. So if that's the kind of support you want, lockstep with you every step of the way in your journey, and you deserve, head to shop.verveeventco.com for 10% off the Ultimate Wedding Planning Checklist. Use the code PODCAST10 during checkout for 10% off your entire cart. Okay, now let's get back to our episode. Our next item, our event to talk about, is the Bridesmaids Groomsmen Luncheon. Now, moving on to this event, we're now heading into your wedding week. The countdown is on, and we're going to kick things off by talking about your bridesmaids and groomsmen's luncheon. And if you're like, what the heck is that? Don't worry, I'm going to talk about that too. Simply put, it is a heartfelt way for couples to say a big thank you to their wedding party. This gathering is typically a more intimate affair involving the wedding party and possibly immediate family members, celebrating the love and support those close-knit friends and relatives provide during your wedding journey and really like your whole life that you've known them. While the wedding week can feel like a whirlwind, setting aside time for a luncheon like this can be the perfect pause in the festivities. Thursday is a really great day to have this event, as Friday tends to ramp up with last minute preparations and arrivals if you're having a typical Saturday wedding. Plus, it also gives everyone a relaxed pace and a place for you all to connect before the big day. Plus, we typically talk about this as a luncheon, but why stop at a luncheon? Pairing this meal with a fun activity can elevate the experience, turning it into not just a meal, but a memorable day out with your most important people. So you can think spa treatments, a round of golf, a private wine tasting, a craft workshop. I wouldn't recommend this like putting all of your wedding bouquets together. I know we talked about this before. I mean, you could do that, but I just feel like putting them to work again, not my cup of tea, but totally do that if that's what you want to do. The idea here is to create an environment of relaxation and joy, celebrating the journey that you've shared together and the big day that's about to come. For my wedding, when we got married almost 15 years ago, we decided to host a wedding party event just for my girls with my mom, and we played croquet, and we had a picnic, kind of a picnic luncheon. We had it at the property where the wedding was going to be taking place, and we just kind of relaxed. My girls gave me the sweetest gift at the luncheon, which I didn't even expect. It was a scrapbook/recipe book, and it's still one of my prized possessions to this day. It included a recipe from each of one of my close friends, complete with pictures from our trips in college, going out, like my friend, you know, who is from Brazil, and she put a recipe in there for caipirinhas, and I think something else too. And then she had photos of us going out, which was just like kind of funny because this was, you know, gosh, this was 15 years ago. So like now that I look back on it, I loved it when I received it, but I love it even more 15 years later because those pictures truly captured a really special time in our lives and our relationship together. And it's just like such a cute thing. Anyways, gushing about that. In contrast, my husband decided not to have a groomsman luncheon, but instead took any guests that arrived early on a wine tour around Charlottesville, Virginia, which is where we got married. We paid for the buses and the transportation to the wineries, and we also, I think, got like a charcuterie platter with subs for the ride, and then the guests paid for their own tastings at each of the wineries. So honestly, I would have loved to do that if it was any other weekend but my wedding, but I did not want to be hungover for the rehearsal dinner or the wedding the next day, so I was happy to do mani-pedis in the morning and then have our luncheon. And he took the burden, not the burden, but you know what I mean. He took that on and hosted all of those people, which I was happy for him to do. Going back to what I was saying, now, this luncheon is essentially a gesture of appreciation, which is what we totally did, a way to acknowledge the efforts of our wedding party. I gave them these cute little clutches that they can put their stuff in for the wedding. You know, it's kind of like a pep talk for everybody in the wedding party that's contributed to this big day. But yeah, it's typically hosted by the couples or the parents, as it lends a nice personal touch that resonates really deeply. But again, do what feels good for you. Also, guys, the luncheon doesn't have to be extravagant. The focus is on sincerity and gratitude, a thoughtful gathering, a few words of appreciation, maybe a small gift for your wedding party to feel truly valued. But again, like, do what makes you feel happy. Okay, lastly, let's talk about the rehearsal dinner or welcome party. Traditionally, the rehearsal dinner was a more intimate gathering reserved for the wedding party and immediate family. It's the cozy prelude to the big day, taking place right after your ceremony rehearsal itself, where last-minute nerves are soothed and the excitement truly begins to bubble for your wedding day. But as with many traditions in the wedding, we are seeing a shift when it comes to this event. The scope of the rehearsal dinner is expanding, transforming into something that can accommodate a wider circle, while keeping the dinner limited to your very, very important persons creates a personal and intimate experience. There is a growing trend towards inclusivity, opening the arms wider to include more guests in what's now often referred to as a welcome reception. This larger, more inclusive gathering isn't just about logistics, it's about extending the warmth and celebration to all of your guests, especially those who have traveled from afar. It's a beautiful way to kickstart the festivities and make every guest feel like an integral part of your journey. Plus, it's a lot of fun. More and more couples are planning their wedding to be a true wedding weekend experience instead of focusing on just the wedding day, and this welcome party is a great way to kick things off. Traditionally, the groom's family foots the bill for this event, a nod to the days when the bride's family was expected to cover the wedding. However, like all things wedding, flexibility and personal preference are key in modern celebrations. The most important thing is to create a gathering that reflects the couple's personalities and gratitude towards their guests. Sometimes both parents will split the costs, or the couple will cover the welcome party themselves. Lots of different ways to do this. If you're contemplating between a rehearsal dinner and a welcome party, consider your wedding's overall vibe and what feels right for you. A rehearsal dinner can offer a moment of calm before the storm, a time for heartfelt toasts in a more private setting. Also, guys, I don't love a bunch of toasts at the wedding itself. I really like doing like the thank you from the couple if you want to do one, and then toast from the, you know, you're both VIPs on either side, and that's it. Maybe, and also welcome remarks from the parents who are hosting the wedding. If there's more people than that, it just becomes a long night of people talking again, and like people just want to dance. So if you want to have more people talking, this is really great for a welcome party or rehearsal dinner. On the flip side, a welcome party is a grand gesture of hospitality, setting the tone for a weekend of celebration and unity. So really, there's no bad option depending on which way you choose. Oftentimes, we'll also do a rehearsal dinner that's more intimate, and then a welcome party for everybody that kind of just joins everybody else, or like a welcome reception where we'll do cocktails and dessert vibes and hors d'oeuvres, not like a full sit-down dinner. So lots of options for you guys to choose from. And really quick, I didn't really touch on this and wasn't really planning on it for this episode, but when it comes to like the theme of these events, the aesthetic, you can totally do something that kind of is in relation to the wedding, but I always love doing something that's like very, very different from the wedding. So it just feels like that event is separate. So if one of the events that we're doing for our couples this year is we're having, you know, the wedding on the water, on the lake, but they're from the New York area, but they just moved to Boston. So for their welcome reception, we're having a more of like a clam bake style, Nantucket style event for their rehearsal dinner, which I think is super fun. It's going to be super, super cute. So, you know, lake vibes for the wedding, and then slightly different. It's like a lake garden vibe for the wedding, and then something different for, and more casual for the welcome party. Okay. Before we let you go, here are three quick bonus tips when planning all of these extra events leading up to your wedding. First, let's talk about gifts. Whether it's a token of appreciation for your bridal party, a heartfelt gift for your parents, or a surprise for your soon-to-be spouse, timing is everything. These gifts can be given during the bridesmaids and groomsmen luncheon, the rehearsal dinner, or the morning of the wedding. Choose a moment that feels right for you, one that allows for a personal touch and a bit of sentimentality amidst the festivities. Now, if you want to dive deeper into gifting for the wedding, check out episode 47, The Do's and Don'ts of Wedding Gifting with Alexandra Puccini from Lavender and Pine. She had an awesome episode. And so, you know, for anyone that's like thinking about how to give gifts, what to do about favors, all that kind of stuff, definitely check out episode 47, which we'll link to in the show notes. Okay, next, before any of the auxiliary events begin to take shape, make sure your wedding invitations are out. If you want, you can include additional cards for your rehearsal dinner or the welcome party within the wedding invitation itself. But in general, you definitely want to invite people to these extra events, the ones taking place during the weekend of your wedding, after they've already received a wedding invitation. Only after these have been mailed out should you start sending out invites for the additional events at your wedding. And lastly, when it comes to listing the pre-wedding events, only include the events on your website that every guest is invited to attend. This helps avoid any confusion or feelings of exclusion among your guests. Transparency is key, but so is thoughtfulness and how information is presented. I've seen too many wedding websites where the welcome dinner is listed as invite only, and honestly, it leaves a bad taste in the guest's mouth that are not invited. So it's best to leave it off. It's just not the vibe you want as you kick off your wedding weekend. You can disagree with me if you want, if you feel like it's easier. But I really, you know, I always say people remember how you make them feel. So this is something that's, I think, important to think about when you are putting together your wedding website. Finally, I wanted to touch on wedding registries and cash gifts. While not directly related to these events, a lot of the events we talked about today include gifts for the couple. If you want to dive deeper into wedding registries and gifts, check out episode 94 of the show with Sarah Margolis, the CEO of Honey Fund, which is an awesome website that helps you request cash gifts for your wedding, as well as other milestones in your life, like building a house, buying a car, I don't know, lots of things, paying off your debt from college. Anyways, that was a lot. Who else, though, is getting all excited about the events leading up to your wedding day? I feel like I am. Remember, each of these pre-wedding events is an opportunity to celebrate love, create lasting memories, and bring together those who matter most. While I hope it's been helpful to learn a little bit more about the etiquette, traditions, and planning tip, I want to remind you that there doesn't have to be any specific rules when it comes to your wedding day, and that includes all of the events leading up to it. Lastly, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning in and making this episode a part of your wedding planning journey. Your enthusiasm, your stories, and your love are what make Ask the Planner such a joy to create, and I love hearing from you guys. If you have questions about what I talked about today, send me a DM or leave it in your review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Spotify does have that question feature, so just drop it in there or leave a voicemail on our wedding planning hotline at 585-210-3467. And now that brings us to our review of the day. 5 stars from S. Derms, who writes she is a June 2024 bride. Hi, Des. Yay, she wrote Des. I live in the DC area and I've been listening to your podcast since last summer, and I love starting my week off with your podcast. I drive a lot for work, so I'm always listening to a podcast and enjoy looking forward to my Monday morning car rides. I love to hear a podcast episode about wedding mindset, stress reduction, and how to stay positive on your wedding day and leading up to it. A lot of advice is about planning well, but I'd love to hear mindset tips. Ooh, Esterms, I thank you so much for your review. I love this suggestion for an upcoming episode. I don't know if you knew this. Maybe this is why you said it. I used to live and work in DC too. And so that traffic in DC is no joke. Luckily, my longest commute was when I lived in Arlington/Ballston, and I took the can't remember now what, it's not the Key Bridge, but another bridge into Glover Park. I also drove into the city from Ballston to my office when I worked at Jones Day, which overlooked the Capitol, and 395 was no joke. The whole Capitol Beltway, oh my God, I'm just getting like anxious thinking about all the traffic that you have to deal with. We used to commute from Arlington to Fairfax also, which was about 30 minutes away, just to get to Wegmans because we were obsessed. We didn't do this all the time. We did it like maybe once a month, but we always would commute to Wegmans. And so I love picturing you in your car sitting on the Beltway. Hopefully these episodes are helpful, but also entertaining. The traffic was one of the reasons we moved out of the city. I just couldn't take how angry my husband got as I sat next to him because it's not something you can control. So hopefully this is hitting you when you need to hear it, when you're commuting for work. I will definitely see if we can add your suggestion for a podcast episode in this current season on the mindset and stress reduction. Lovers listening to the show, I would love it if you helped out Esterms, our fellow lover, and dropped your tips for how you help manage your mindset and stress when it comes to wedding planning in your review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so that we can help her out, because I'm sure other people are also thinking about this as well. For now, I would say it is important to have a good connection with your partner. And what I mean by that is don't let wedding planning take over your life. Yes, there is a lot to do, but also take breaks and just date each other. I touched on this a little bit in episode 89, the importance of bridal wellness with our guest Danielle Leilani. And that would honestly be a great episode for you to go back to if you haven't listened to it. But our relationships are so important for our mental well-being, as long as, of course, they're positive ones. I just got back, like I mentioned earlier in the episode, from a girls' trip with my best friends from college. There were 9 of us, and it was so restorative to reconnect and focus on our relationships with each other, catch up, support one another, and just like hear about their lives, because it's been a while. Planning a wedding is not a sprint, it's a marathon. You're not going to get through everything when you want to, nor will you be able to predict the future and anticipate every little detail. But if you remember the reason why you're getting married, and which is basically, you know, to promise your commitment to each other in front of your most favorite people, everything will be okay, I promise. That was a tangent. Moving on. Lovers, if you could be awesome like Esterms, please don't forget to leave a review for the podcast in Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Share it with a fellow couple. Take a picture of you listening to it in your car. Tag me on Instagram at Ask the Planner Podcast. We love, 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 love hearing from our lovers. Reviews and shares are so helpful to us because it helps other listeners find the show. If you're not sure what to write in your review, let me know where you're listening from. Drop some emojis, submit a question for a Never Have I Ever segment, suggest a topic like S. Derms just did for a future episode or a guest that you want us to invite to be on the show. Also, you can answer this week's question of the week, which is, what engagement event or pre-wedding event are you most looking forward to before the big day? Lovers, thank you again for joining me on today's episode. Coming up on the show, we're talking to wedding etiquette experts, content creators, and so many more. So send us your questions and we will make sure to ask them on the episodes. Thank you again and have an amazing week. Thank you so much for listening to Ask the Planner. To make sure you enjoy planning your heirloom occasion, visit asktheplannerpodcast.com, where you'll find show notes and ways to connect with me. And if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you hit subscribe and please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so other couples can find the show and plan their flawless wedding just like you.